Boulder City Podcast. Our guest today is Tom Meyer, the CEO of the Boulder City Hospital. And Tom, thanks for joining us today. It's a real honor to meet you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we're here to talk about Art in the Park, one of my favorite events here in Boulder City every year, and certainly the biggest event that the city holds. And it draws over 100,000 people a year, and it's been an important part of the community, and it's obviously an important part of the hospital. So explain how it started and how it benefits the hospital.
Well, it goes back to the good old days when the federal government was releasing control of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Denton and her husband put together a fundraising event, attracting local artists over to their backyard. Mm-hmm. To show off their skills and abilities and sell some of their art in order to raise some money for the hospital, which I think at that time was about $15,000 is what they needed in order to take the hospital over, okay, license it, and start running it. Mm-hmm. So that's the first Art in the Park, if you will. It's just grown from there.
That's 57 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a long time.
It is.
So how does it continue to benefit the hospital?
Art in the Park is our biggest fundraiser. So a lot of people don't realize this, but Boulder City Hospital is an independent 501c3 hospital. We're not supported by any kind of regulated subsidies or taxing districts. We don't get mining proceeds like some hospitals up north.
Right.
And we're not part of a larger corporation, so we sink or swim on the strength of our operations and the philanthropic efforts that we provide through donations and through fundraising events. Mm-hmm. So Art in the Park is an event that the money generated to the hospital from Art in the Park is the rental fees that the artists pay in order to have a booth to exhibit their wares. Mm-hmm. So we don't make any money on the sale of the art. That all goes to the artists themselves.
Sure.
But we do make money on the rental fees, and then some of the food booths, like the beer and wine booth, for example, provides money for us.
Okay, great. So over the last 5 years, Art in the Park has raised over $1 million for the hospital. That's pretty impressive. So how important is that in the overall finances of the hospital?
Extremely important. As a critical access hospital, it's a designation that means we are cost-based reimbursed. Mm-hmm. So we don't really make a profit.
Right.
We get cost based on the percentage of what Medicare is of our payer mix. So Medicare pays us cost. Medicare is about 60% of our payer mix, so about 60% of our cost is taken care of. Mm-hmm. The rest is made up with commercial insurance and Medicaid. You don't really make a profit in critical access. And so we rely on donations and fundraising events like this to help us bridge the gap between a loss and maybe a mild break even.
Okay. So what was the impact of last year's cancellation on the hospital?
Huge. Yeah. Well, it was not just Art in the Park. Even though Art in the Park is the focus of this,
right,
we have two major fundraising events, Art in the Park, and then we have the Heart of the Community Gala.
Right.
And combined, that's about $400,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So do the math, we were $400,000 short.
Yeah, that must have been pretty tough. So compared to 2019, how large do you expect this event to be?
It really kind of depends on the community,
right,
and people's tolerance for risk and so forth. Of course, at the same time, people are tired of not being able to go out to live events. So I kind of anticipate a pretty good crowd. Mm-hmm. Just judging from my experience in going to concerts and live shows in Las Vegas, there's a hungry crowd out there for entertainment and camaraderie. So I anticipate that this will be at least as good as 2019.
Right, right. And of course, this weekend coming up, we have the Worst Fest, so we'll see who comes out for that as well.
Right.
That should be interesting. That's always been a real Boulder City-centric type of thing. It doesn't draw that many people.
That should be the sort of a bellwether for us.
Right, absolutely. So in terms of vendors, do you have an equal number of vendors from 2019?
My understanding is that we've, in terms of artists and vendors, mm-hmm, we have about the same number as we usually do. A lot of them are regulars.
Right,
I would say probably, I don't know, what would you say, maybe 75% of some of the people who rent booths from us are regular people, mm-hmm, or regular customers of ours. And same with the food vendors. We have a great variety of food vendors that come out. And, of course, I got to keep plugging the beer and wine booth because that's a huge draw for us.
That's right, yeah. No, it's but the artists are obviously the centerpiece of the show. And did I read it was the largest juried art show in the Southwest?
Yes, it is, yes.
So do you get a lot of really semi-famous artists, I guess, coming here?
Well, I guess if you're an art aficionado, you might recognize some of the people.
Right.
And, you know, really high-end artists who sell work for, you know, tens of thousands of dollars
right.
are not likely to sell sure. a lot of their products mm-hmm. at an art fair. So we really have a pretty, a popular price point
right.
for mm-hmm. works you might want to buy.
Right.
So I don't know if I can say that they're renowned artists,
right.
but I'll tell you, I've been to art shows around the Southwest before, mm-hmm. and I was recently at the Sados Festival in Laguna Beach,
okay.
and I ran into some just phenomenal artists over there, bought some of their work, mm-hmm. glass-blown works and things like that, and they were, in fact, presenters at our previous Art in the Park that we had over here. So we have a broad draw of artists from all over the United States.
Okay. So you think they're kind of up-and-coming artists in many cases?
In many cases, there are. And I think I'd probably categorize maybe our feature artist as maybe an up-and-coming artist. And
right.
somebody who is self-taught mm-hmm. and who has been doing some amazing work over the years and just getting better and better at what he does.
Okay. So who are the judges for the Art in the Park?
Well, we have people from the foundation. Mm-hmm. So Wendy is certainly Wendy Adams, our mm-hmm. coordinator, is certainly one of those people. In the past, she has gotten art teachers and art artists, teachers from community college mm-hmm. and from UNLV, other artists in the community that are active in the industry locally, who have reviewed some of the work and determined who the first, second, and third prizes are.
Okay, great. And it's not just artists. I mean, there's people that sell handmade jewelry. I guess that's an art in and of itself. I mean, there's carpenters. We once bought a table at Art in the Park. And
right. It's not just fine art. So right. it's fine art and fine craft.
Right.
And what we look for is original craft. So we just, you know, we don't sell a booth to somebody who maybe bought some pre-fabbed items in bulk from China and sort of selling those on the side. If we see that, you know, we tell them that they can't do that. This
right.
is supposed to be semi-competitive,
right.
but the most important thing is the quality of the show mm-hmm. and the quality of the products right. that are being sold there that gives us the reputation that we have.
Sure. So, and it has an impact on the city too, not just on the hospital. I mean, the restaurants and the antique stores and things of that nature in town, they just love it here because, it, you know, when you get 100,000 people in town, it's going to spill over to everybody.
Yeah, I don't think that the economic impact to Boulder City can be denied.
Right.
You know, it's a weekend of people coming in, mm-hmm. and they're not just here for Art in the Park. I mean, they go to Art in the Park, that might be their
sure.
destination, but, you know, you're just a hop, skip, and a jump away from, you know, the downtown area mm-hmm. with the great restaurants
right.
and bars over there, and their shops and the antique shops mm-hmm. and so forth. So I think it's a huge benefit for most of the businesses in town to have access to this kind of crowd.
Sure. Well, I know all the motels are filled up in town, the bed and breakfasts and things of that nature. And I imagine, you know, casinos like Railroad Pass and the Hoover Dam Lodge also do well.
Absolutely.
So what is the schedule like this year?
Well, it's the first weekend in October, the second and third,
right.
Basically from 9 to 5 both days. I think we have
9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 4 on Sunday.
9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 4 on Sunday. Everything's open at that time. So, I mean, if you're a day drinker, you can come to the beer and wine booth at 9 o'clock and have yourself a Bloody Mary.
That would be my wife. So, you've got the food vendors, and as you said, a wide variety of food. I know that people have their favorite foods that they come for as well.
Yeah, they do. It seems like the kettle corn guy does pretty well for the most part.
Yep.
We have the lemonade guy.
The
little lemonade guy.
The Greek guy.
Oh, the Greek food guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't remember their names.
Yeah, sure.
I would like to give a plug to them, but these are like all regular people, and I think that's one reason why they keep coming back, because they do so well at the show.
Sure. And you have entertainment all weekend as well.
We do. We up in the gazebo, they have entertainment.
Every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Live entertainment.
Yeah.
Opening kickoff by Congresswoman Susie Lee and Mayor McManus.
Okay, great. You're still looking for volunteers?
Yeah, I mean, volunteering is sometimes a little harder than other times, and yeah. I guess it just depends on people's schedules. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, we ask of a fairly significant commitment from people. A lot of the hospital employees volunteer. Mm-hmm. I volunteer.
Sure.
My board members volunteer. A lot of folks from the Rotary volunteer. So we do get a good broad support. But it is a commitment, you know.
Right.
We're looking for, you know, half a day,
sure.
you know, on both days for those folks. Mm-hmm. But in the end, everybody comes out and we all make it work together.
Sure. So people can go to the website to if they want to volunteer. I understand there's a way to put your name in the hat there.
Yeah, they go to the Boulder City Hospital Foundation website, and mm-hmm. they can certainly contact Wendy or Carrie directly and, okay. and put their name in the hat. Absolutely.
And you know, when my kids went to high school, they were in the band, and the band always came up and volunteered. So
yeah, we had the band, we right. had like the rodeo club, we mm-hmm. had lots of different groups from the high schools would come out and help us with trash, with pickup, with mm-hmm. cleanup at the end of the show.
And you got a lot of sponsors as well.
We got a ton of sponsors. That's yeah. another area where we make money,
right.
Sure. And that's very important for us. And you want to direct me to who some of our biggest sponsors are?
No, but I could probably get you that information.
But we have like Guardian Elite Medical is mm-hmm. an ambulance company that we
right.
use quite a bit over here. And they have been coming forward every opportunity to help us out. Desert Radiology, MCARE Envision is our emergency room physician service. Brown & Brown Insurance, just a lot of folks, and it's all in our guidebook that we published and would be passing out at the show.
Okay, great. So this is all organized by the Boulder City Hospital Foundation. Explain what that is and how that really organizes the show itself and then these other philanthropic opportunities.
Sure. The foundation is a separate 501c3 from the hospital. It was organized in 1995, and I think that was just predates me, but that was a time that things are starting to get difficult for the hospital.
Right.
It's a time in the hospital industry where managed care became the norm. The care was rationed out to hospitals. Mm-hmm. They were paying differently. Bigger systems were negotiating discounts for directing patients to those facilities. They had closed provider groups like you would see with any kind of HMO
sure.
or Medicare Advantage program. So it became very difficult at that time going forward. So the hospital then at that time looked for ways of, you know, having a vehicle for generating philanthropic revenues for the hospital. It is dedicated to the hospital. That is their mission, and all proceeds go to the hospital, and they usually keep a small percentage as working capital mm-hmm. as they're working on the next show.
Sure, sure. Great. Well, it should be an exciting weekend. I'm looking forward to going myself. I always find Christmas presents there. and the artists are incredible, incredibly talented for sure. So thanks for the time. I really appreciate you taking the time, and good luck with the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming to the show in
great.
Advance, and come see me at the Beer and Wine booth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hope you enjoyed the Boulder City podcast. Special thanks to Boulder City Social for helping to disseminate the episodes. If you know anyone in Boulder City that might be an interesting and informative guest on the podcast, email me at rogergross@comcast.net and we'll try to get them on. Until then, we'll see you next time on the Boulder City podcast.